No jazz trio would be complete without the backup of the bass. Such is the role of your hands, not flashy like the tongue or deft like the fingers, but nevertheless crucial in supporting the melody. Assuming for the moment that you're right-handed, it's your left hand that will generally be employed in this supportive role, as your right hand will be focused on finger work, or vice versa, if you're left-handed. Working from below, your hand provides a solid foundation for the action happening above. A firm, steady hand enables you to execute your tongue strokes with precision. Place your free hand under her buttocks and cradle them firmly. You should be able to easily squeeze both cheeks together. Use your hand to keep her in position and fine-tune the position of her vulva in relation to your mouth. Make no mistake, a steady hand is crucial, the backbone of a great session. It helps her to easily maintain persistent contact with your mouth and allows you to modulate the pressure against her vulva.
29. Time flies. Jack, 32, asks, "Sometimes when I'm in the middle of going down on a woman, I feel like it's never going to end. Is there any rule of thumb as to how long a cunnilingus session should last?" My answer? Yes, there's a very precise answer as to how long a cunnilingus session should last. As long as it takes to bring her to orgasm. That said, every woman is different when it comes to her process of sexual response, so it's difficult to accurately estimate how long a given session should last. Some women are quickly able to develop the sexual tension necessary to reach orgasm, while others require stimulation over a longer period of time. And remember, a woman's orgasmic potential may fluctuate as a result of a wide variety of factors, such as stress, exercise, diet, fatigue, medication, and alcohol, which can help her to relax but also slow her down if too much is imbibed. Broader physical factors, such as age and pregnancy, can also influence a woman's orgasmic potential. It's been observed that women who masturbate regularly are often able to reach orgasm more easily during cunnilingus than those who don't. This is due to the clitoral familiarity that comes with knowing her own body, and being able to navigate her way through the process of sexual response. Masturbation helps to wire a woman for orgasm, and many women, not unlike men, are able to reach orgasm within a few minutes when pleasuring themselves. So in theory, it's possible for a man to accomplish the same with his tongue. And of course, the degree to which a woman has been amply stimulated during foreplay also has a direct bearing on the length of a cunnilingus session. The more confident you are in navigating her process of sexual response, the more you learn what works and what doesn't, the more efficient your experience will be. But enough equivocating. I will offer a broad generalization and opine that a cunnilingus session should last anywhere from 15 to 45 minutes on average, not including foreplay. It's often difficult for a woman to develop the requisite sexual tension in less than 15 minutes, and she will often become overstimulated and desensitized beyond 45 minutes. Brevity may be the soul of wit, but not of cunnilingus. But rest assured, time flies when you're having fun. 30. Developing Tension, Part 2. Tongue Strokes. Now that her clitoral head is fully acclimated to the attention of your tongue, it's time to vary your strokes and get playful. Let your tongue take a solo, but in doing so, remember the admonitions of Strunk and White. Be clear. Be wild of tongue in a way we can understand. Don't make a break with the rhythm you've established. Reinforce it. Play on top of it. Horizontal Strokes. Most tongue strokes are vertical, from bottom to top, but brisk horizontal licks back and forth across the clitoral head will inflame her, particularly if they're wet and sloppy and wash over the full expanse of the head. Diagonal strokes. Tilt your head to the left or right, whichever is more comfortable, and press your ear against her inner thigh. Then lick from a lower corner point of the clitoral region up to its diagonal opposite, brushing against the clitoral head in the process.
When this is executed correctly, you'll notice that your strokes slow down because you're working harder for each one and using the side of your tongue as opposed to the front of it. This position may be a bit awkward on the neck, but the change in direction and pace is sure to delight her, particularly since your strokes will have a heavier, slightly sluggish quality to them. There's actually a bit of drag to the diagonal stroke, and within that rhythm of drag, an unpredictable staccato, pleasurable tiny spikes that spark within her. Tongue tip. Use both of your thumbs to gently part her labia minora, the small inner lips, on either side and expose the clitoral head. Skim it gently with your tongue from top to bottom and left to right. Once you get the hang of it, use your index fingers to gently massage the clitoral shaft. Cat licks. Ever watch a cat clean itself? Repetitive and focused, consumed by the task at hand? With time to spare, a cat will clean one small patch of fur at a time, working an area over and over again before moving on. Cat licks are a staple of cunnilingus. Like a fastidious feline, work the entire vulva with short, repetitious licks. Be sure to save the clitoral head for last, and then, like a cat that's come across a trouble spot that demands a bit of extra attention, apply more focus and pressure. Shadow finger. Let your index finger trail behind your tongue. The hardness of your finger coming on top of your wet, soft tongue will create a pleasing contrast. Start with simple vertical and horizontal strokes, and then try more complex paths. Flat tongue, still tongue. This is one of the most underestimated and underutilized tongue positions. It's great for inducing orgasm, but more important, it's also great as a breather between tongue strokes. A flat, still tongue is like the intermission at a play or the break between scenes. It's a chance to change the scenery and give the actors a rest, but you're not letting the audience leave the theater. Let your tongue rest firmly and flatly against the full length of her vaginal entrance. Push your tongue into her vulva, then let her do the work. Let her move, glide, shimmy, and grind against your tongue. Whatever she wants, let her set the pace. Rope-a-dope. Think of two boxers in the ring, resting briefly and embraced during a long, grueling round. Let her pummel your resting tongue. Let her wear herself out, and then rope-a-dope her. That's the strategy Muhammad Ali employed to take down George Foreman during their famous fight. Ali let Foreman clobber him for a full 7 rounds. Everyone thought he was a goner. And then when Foreman was so fatigued from pounding away that he could barely lift his tired, heavy mitts, Ali sprang to life with a lightning-fast combination that sent his dazed and confused opponent to the mat in a matter of seconds. Be like Ali. Let her push and grind against your flat, still tongue. Take it all in, and then spring back with a series of fast vertical and diagonal tongue strokes. Lick her senseless with a short burst of energy, and then return to the flat, still tongue, waiting for yet another opportune moment to spring to life again. Suction pucker. Pucker your lips around the clitoral glands and apply a bit of gentle suction. This technique will stimulate increased blood flow to the clitoris, an aspect of sexual response so important to female arousal that the FDA approved the Eros CTD clitoral therapy device for the treatment of female orgasmic disorder. This contraption consists of a small pump connected to a tiny plastic cup that fits over the head of the clitoris and is designed to simulate the effects of cunnilingus. As such, it often brings women to orgasm. Research has also suggested that the CTD pump might even prevent fibrosis of the clitoral arteries as women grow older. But there's nothing this device can do that you can't do better. 31. Escalating the action. Part 1. Spot removal. You've undoubtedly heard of the G-spot. You've probably spent your fair share of time searching for it and then wondering if you found it. But as we learned earlier, the G-spot is much more than just a spot. In fact, to call it a spot is a serious misnomer. If anything, it's an area, a sensitive expanse. Forget the term G-spot and think of it as a cluster, a clitoral cluster, that is. Think of this cluster as the unseen roots of a flower that wend their way through the soil of erectile tissue and pelvic bone. Now that we know what we're looking for, let's go find it. Come hither. Earlier, we explored the possibilities of manual stimulation by inserting a single, still finger into the vaginal entrance. Now, incorporate slow movements of that finger into your routine. Start with a straight index finger and then curl it in a come hither gesture. As you do so, gently graze her vaginal ceiling with your fingertip. As you do so, your finger will pass over the clitoral cluster, an area of sensitive, spongy tissue that surrounds the urethra and swells against the vaginal ceiling when aroused. At this point in the process of arousal, her clitoral cluster should be fairly easy to find, as it is likely engorged with the inflow of blood. Your fingertip should end its journey in the spongy tissue where her vaginal ceiling intersects with her vaginal entrance. Press lightly against her pubic bone with your fingertip. She may shudder at the first touch of the area, as you are now stimulating a new hot zone in the clitoral network. In addition to the come hither finger curl, press the length of your finger up against her vaginal ceiling. Hold the position and apply pressure against the area. Don't be shy about pressing up into her vaginal ceiling. The clitoral cluster is less sensitive than the clitoral head and responds well to firm, persistent pressure. Tongue tip. As you press your finger into her vaginal ceiling, use your free hand to press down from above on her pubic mound. The pressure from above complements the pressure from below and heightens the sensitivity of the region to your touch. This is because the spongy tissue that composes the clitoral cluster is nestled between her vaginal ceiling and pubic bone and swells against both when engorged with blood during arousal. Now that you've used the come hither finger curl to graze her vaginal ceiling and clitoral cluster, reverse the position and do the same along her vaginal floor. When trawling her vaginal floor, you're exciting her perineal tissue, the sensitive erectile tissue that lines the expansive skin between her vagina and anus. Tongue tip. Give her a perineal pinch. When stimulating her perineal tissue from the inside with your index finger, use your thumb to press her perineum from the outside. In this position, you're literally pinching her perineum from both sides. Having lavished attention on both the vaginal ceiling and floor, use the come hither finger curl to graze her sensitive vaginal walls, both left and right, especially the areas that are closest to the entrance. Be sure to complement this manual tour of her vaginal walls with the tongue strokes described in previous chapters. Vertical strokes will be the easiest and most natural. If it's too difficult to focus on performing hand and tongue gestures simultaneously, then simply press a flat, still tongue against her clitoral head and focus on the manual stimulation. 32. Two's company. Now that you have exploited a single finger to its full potential, it's time to introduce a second finger, your middle one. Think of your index and middle fingers as a single finger and let them work in unison. First, simply insert both fingers inside her vaginal canal, palm up, and maintain a still position. Take a moment to feel her pelvic muscles contract against the side of your fingers. Notice the further tightening of her vaginal entrance, the clitoral cuff, around your fingers. As you did earlier with a single finger, use both fingers side by side to graze the ceiling, floor, and walls of her vagina with come hither gestures. When grazing her vaginal ceiling, feel your fingertips pass over the spongy tissue of the clitoral cluster. Flatten your fingers and press them into her vaginal ceiling. Push up against the spongy tissue. Apply firm pressure. With your other hand, press down against her pubic mound. Use both hands to massage her from above and below. Continue to apply your tongue to her clitoral head, either with small vertical strokes or simply with a flat still tongue. At this point, the application of steady pressure against her clitoral head is just as important, if not more important, than tongue strokes. In using both fingers and tongue, you are simultaneously engaging her clitoral cluster and clitoral head. Note that you are applying a gentle pressure to the latter and a deeper pressure to the former. The pleasure she experiences is a blend of these two types of stimulation. The come hither clasp. Now hook your fingertips just inside her vaginal entrance and press up against her vaginal ceiling and clitoral cluster with the tops of your fingers. Get a good firm grasp. Press your fingertips into the spongy tissue atop her vaginal entrance and raise the tops of your finger through to the knuckle or as much as comfortably possible against her vaginal ceiling. Maintain this position. Apply fingertip pressure. Since you should still be licking her clitoral head from the outside while stimulating it with your fingers from within, your chin should fit comfortably into the palm of your hand. Your fingertips should be pressing into the area just behind the head. Only a thin layer of tissue and pelvic bone separates your fingertips and tongue. The come hither clasp is an important position for stimulating the full expanse of her clitoral cluster as well as maintaining the position of her vulva against your mouth. It's very likely the position your fingers will be in when she reaches orgasm, with the possible addition of a third finger to round out the team and enhance the throbbing of her pelvic contractions. 33. An interlude. Asks Rob, 29, "My girlfriend loves oral sex, but sometimes she complains about being lonely when I'm doing it. Is that weird?" My answer? No. Her sense of loneliness is not entirely uncommon. Even though cunnilingus is an intense physical experience, it's possible that she may feel a bit disconnected from you. Try straddling one of her legs so that your penis rests against her inner thigh. Stroke her stomach with your free hand. Connect more of your bodies to each other. And even though you're focused on her vulva, keep in mind that there's a whole woman up there, so make an extra effort to verbalize and stay connected. Time out. The come hither clasp described in the previous chapter provides an ideal opportunity to take a quick intermission from cunnilingus and focus on other types of stimulation, assuming she'll let you. Still stimulating her clitoral cluster, get up on your knees, come around to one side of her, and kiss her stomach and breasts. You can also kiss her mouth if she doesn't object, but take heed. Just as the average guy doesn't always relish the idea of kissing a woman after she's gone down on him, many women would rather not kiss a wet face that has just come up from below. When enjoying an entre-act, keep a small towel handy and use your free hand to give your face a quick wipe down. You might also want to pat down her inner thighs and lightly dab her vulva. The perfect pairing. A timeout also presents an opportunity to have a swish or two of wine to refresh your palate. As noted in part one, the pH level of her vulva is remarkably similar to that of wine, so cunnilingus and the fruit of the vine are the perfect pairing. Try a dry white or a red Zinfandel. Wines that are a little more on the acidic side will add some zing to your tongue. If you're willing to indulge your senses, as well as your wallet, pick up a good bottle of Viognier from the Condru region in France. It possesses a rich perfume that's redolent of apricot, peaches, and honey, and when combined with the sweet nectar of her vulva, is the closest you'll ever get to tasting ambrosia, the food of the gods. Whatever your choice, make sure you offer her a sip before going back to your tongue strokes. But remember, during this interlude, try not to remove your fingers from their come-hither clasp. Maintain a good firm grip on her clitoral cluster and enjoy your libations, all of them. 34. Escalating the action, part 2. Under pressure, the clitoris. It's time to start applying more clitoral pressure with your mouth, much more. At this point in the process of sexual response, stimulation in the form of persistent pressure against the area of her clitoral head is probably the single most important element in helping her reach orgasm. The other three elements fundamental to her orgasm are the rhythm of your tongue against her clitoral head, the firm position of your fingers against her clitoral cluster, the support of your hand under her buttocks. Taken together, these four elements enable the oral inducement of the female orgasm. Apply pressure with a flat, still tongue. Make your tongue as firm as possible, and then press it against her clitoral head. Like a reflex, she will press her vulva into your tongue. Now it's time to introduce a key component of oral stimulation, the gum press. Raise your upper lip by making an Elvis Presley snarl, and press your gum against her front commissure, the sensitive area just above the head. If you're having a problem getting the hang of exposing your gum in this manner, use your upper lip instead. Start with a light pressure and adjust it accordingly to her comfort. While not as sensitive to touch as the actual clitoral head, the front commissure nevertheless abounds in nerve fibers as the clitoral shaft runs beneath it. The virtue of the gum press is that while you apply pressure to her front commissure, you're in perfect position to easily and skillfully lick her head, frenulum, hood, and inner labia with your tongue. Similar to the flat, still tongue, let her take the lead in setting pace and rhythm. Let her use your gum as a source of resistance in order to build up the friction necessary for orgasm. Bottom up. When performing a gum press, know that the pressure against your gum at times may prove formidable. You may even experience a slight ache, especially as she approaches orgasm. If you feel like you need a break from the gum press, a top-down approach, try applying pressure against her frenulum, the area just below her clitoral head. Fortunately, the frenulum, like other sensitive parts of the clitoral network, is rife with nerve endings, and you can easily apply pressure against it while still engaging the glands with tongue strokes. Press your thumb into her frenulum and massage the underlying tissue and pubic bone. As you lick, take note that the tip of your thumb is right below your tongue. Tongue tip. Use a vibrator to provide pressure against her frenulum, a key area for applying pressure. The tip of the vibrator should nestle in snugly beneath the clitoral head. As you apply tongue strokes to the clitoral head, notice that the tip of the vibrator is right beneath your tongue, perhaps even humming against it, and the shaft of the vibrator is underneath your chin. Whether you are applying pressure to the front commissure with your gum or to the frenulum with your thumb or a vibrator, what's important is that you're creating a point of resistance that allows her to generate friction and create sexual tension on her own terms. Putting all the players to work. Now it's time to deploy a gum press in combination with a come-hither clasp. It's this combination of focused pressure on both sides of the clitoral region, inner and outer, that will usher her into the pre-orgasm state. Maintain the pressure of a gum press for 5 to 10 seconds and then vary it with tongue strokes. Short horizontal passes that skim across the top of the clitoral head from left to right, or vertical strokes that hit it head-on from bottom to top. All the while, maintain the manual stimulation of the come-hither finger clasp. Get your thumb into the action by pressing it against her frenulum. Get your free hand, the one supporting her buttocks, into the action by stimulating her perineum. If your hand is horizontally straddling her buttocks, simply rotate it so that it's vertically aligned with the crevice beneath her buttocks. Now your thumb is free, willing, and able to stimulate her perineum externally. In case you didn't know it, at this point, you're working like a pro. You are stimulating the key areas of the clitoral network, both visible and hidden, and calling all of its parts to action. 35. A stitch in time. A friend of mine once asked, "During a session of cunnilingus, is there anything I can do to speed up the process?" My answer? Whatever you do, don't attempt to speed things up by increasing the pace of your clitoral stimulation. One of the main complaints of women in regard to men's oral habits is that they're too fast and rough. So if you tongue fuck her or flick her clit like you're a porn star in order to move things along, you'll likely derail the entire process and possibly even hurt her. Also, do not do anything to indicate to her that you're in a rush or growing impatient. Don't sigh or groan. Don't get angry or frustrated. Don't glance at your watch and certainly don't say anything like, "Come on already." Refer back to the three assurances in part one and take note of assurance number two. There's no rush. She has all the time in the world. You want to savor every moment. Remember, one of the most common anxieties women experience during cunnilingus is a fear that they're taking too long, hence the importance of this assurance. So if she even senses that you think she might be taking too long, her anxiety may well become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Foreplay is the key factor. The more a woman has been erotically stimulated during foreplay, the more easily and quickly she will reach orgasm. Rather than trying to decrease the time you're spending, focus on increasing the pleasure and intimacy you're providing. Additionally, there are key moments during a session of cunnilingus when the introduction of a new element or variation, a tongue stroke, a finger, stimulation of the clitoral cluster or anus, will often hypercharge the process and take the action to the next level. It goes without saying that a man should understand the female process of sexual response and be able to draw upon a wide variety of techniques when stimulating her. As the saying goes, a stitch in time saves nine. But beyond general experience, a crucial factor is often the familiarity and intuitive sense of knowing that comes from being intimately involved with a woman and learning firsthand what works and what doesn't. Henry David Thoreau wrote, "Not that the story need be long, but it will take a long while to make it short." And the same can be said of cunnilingus. In order to create a short work, one that has all the power and resonance of a longer one, you must know your craft as well as your subject. And such intimate knowledge comes with time, practice, and dedication. 36. Pre-orgasm, Part 1. Once her orgasm was but a distant and faraway destination in your journey down the road of arousal. Now the contours of her skyline are plainly in view, the throbbing pulse of Main Street tangible. You've just entered the city limits. Welcome to Orgasmopolis. The visible signs of arousal. When it comes to sex and the moment after, perhaps the single most frequently asked question by men is, did you come? To many guys, the female orgasm is a mystery, a conundrum, a chimera so intangible and elusive that they often fail to recognize it when it's happening right before their very eyes. Shortly, we will examine precisely what occurs when a woman is experiencing an orgasm. But for now, rest assured, if you are in tune with her process of sexual response, if you're in lockstep all the way, then you will notice the visible signs of the impending climax well before the event itself. These indications will be most apparent in the pre-orgasm phase, the moments just preceding her orgasmic contractions. So what are the visible signs of arousal? How can you tell when she's close to orgasm? Through the ages, wise men have reflected upon this question, and in The Tao of Love and Sex, author Jolin Chang offers us the indications of female arousal as laid out by Taoist master Wu Xian. 1. She is panting and her voice is shaking uncontrollably. 2. She closes her eyes and her nostrils are widened and she is unable to speak. 3. She is staring at the man. 4. Her ears turn red and her face is flushing, but the tip of her tongue turns slightly colder. 5. Her hands are hot and her abdomen warm, and at the same time her language becomes almost unintelligible. 6. Her expression looks as though she is bewitched. Her body is soft as jelly, and her limbs are droopy. 7. The saliva under her tongue has been sucked dry, and her body is pressing against the man. 8. The pulses of her vulva become noticeable, and her secretions are flowing. Well, okay. While today's modern man might not notice that the saliva under her tongue has been sucked dry, he is, as evidenced by the medley of quotes that follow, apt to observe. I feel her vagina tighten. It starts to throb and pulse like the beating of her heart. Her body stiffens. Her muscles tighten. She flexes and releases, especially her legs. Her skin flushes. Her entire body heats up. She starts perspiring. Her abdominal muscles tighten. Her breasts swell. I notice a difference in her taste. Her juices start to thicken. They get warmer and sweeter. It's like they're being heated up from all the action, roiling in a cauldron. She holds me tightly in position and won't let me move. She locks me in. Her breathing gets really deep, like she's running a marathon. I feel her heart racing, pounding. She's grabbing at my hair and ears. She pushes up her pelvis. She grinds against me. She bites her lower lip. She tells me, keep going, don't stop. She finds something to grab, my hair, a finger, a piece of blanket. She enters another world. She's completely lost in concentration. It's like she's possessed and speaking in tongues. 90 seconds away. Cunnilinguists are in a great position to observe the visible signs of arousal, especially when the lights are on. Of particular note will be the darkening in color and deepening in luster of her inner labia, as well as the retraction of the clitoral head into its hood. Both are signs that she's within 90 seconds of reaching climax. Even in the dark, it's not hard to observe when the glands has retracted. Focus on feeling the head when it's fully protruded and erect, and you'll easily be able to recognize its absence. 37. Pre-orgasm, part 2. Stay in position. One of the most challenging aspects of the pre-orgasm phase is simply holding her in place and helping her to maintain the position of her clitoris against your mouth. What's ahead of her is a straightaway, and you need to make sure that she stays on track and there are no sudden turns. Too often, a woman loses hold of an orgasm just before it's about to happen. You need to be consistent as well as persistent. Think about it. A very small area, the region of her clitoral head, needs to maintain persistent, forceful contact with yet another very small area, your tongue and gum. Without your hands holding her tightly in position, one under her butt, the other inside her vaginal entrance, without your mouth and gum pressed into her clitoral area, and without the methodic, rhythmic sweeps of your tongue, her orgasm will fast lose its inevitability and become a mere possibility. Think of yourself as helping her to keep her clitoris positioned between a rock and a hard place. Once she's in the pre-orgasm phase, bring her legs as close together as possible. In this position, it's much easier for her pelvic muscles to transition into an involuntary state of spasm. If her legs are too wide apart, she may not be able to orgasm at all. Don't worry about not having enough space to stimulate her with your tongue. There's plenty of room. At this point, the tighter the fit, the better. Remember, her clitoral head is an external part of her vulva and closer to the surface of the mons pubis than the inside of the vagina. In this position, everything narrows and tightens. The walls of her vagina around your fingers, her legs around your arms, all activity becomes constrained and more concentrated. To an outside observer, it may look as though you're both rather still, but in fact, all you need to do is loosen your grip ever so lightly to unleash a veritable whirlwind of movement. Tongue tip. If you need assistance keeping her legs together, particularly as you're trying to focus on the combination of manual and oral stimulation, tie her ankles together with some form of restraint, a necktie, a ribbon. This will make it significantly easier for you to keep her in position. Very often, the best way to keep her in position is to simply push her legs together and with the fingers of one hand nestled inside her and your other hand underneath her buttocks, get on top of her and straddle her legs with the full weight of your body. 38. Posterior pizzazz. Consider spicing up the action with a bit of anal play. Remember, the clitoris and anus are connected through perineal tissue, and the sphincter contracts during orgasm along with the pelvic muscles. In short, the anal region participates in the process of sexual response and is connected to the clitoral network. As with all elements of cunnilingus, a little goes a long way, and anal stimulation is no exception. Like everything else we've discussed, it's about stimulation rather than penetration. Thus far, you've stimulated the perineum and the area just around her anus. Now graze the anus with your fingertip and then insert it, just the fingertip. As soon as you penetrate her anal area, you should feel the tightening of her sphincter muscles around your finger. Hold this position through her orgasm. Tongue tip. When stimulating the anus, you may need some of that lubricant you've been keeping on hand. Typically, it won't be necessary as some of the moisture from her vulva has naturally made its way south to the perineum and into the anal area, but it doesn't hurt to be prepared. When stimulating the anus, make sure to insert a finger that's not employed in manual stimulation of the vulva, as there are bacteria in the former that you don't want coming into contact with the latter. Your best bet is the thumb of your hand that's supporting her buttocks. You should be able to position yourself easily so that you're able to support her buttocks in addition to inserting the tip of your thumb into her anus. Or insert the pinky or fourth finger of the hand that is involved in manual stimulation. Those two fingers are usually neglected anyway during manual stimulation of the vulva, so give them some active duty. It's worth noting that while cunnilingus is a generally accepted form of sexual expression, stimulating the anal area is sometimes considered off-limits, even though there's a big difference between a wee fingertip in the butt and full-blown anal intercourse. If it's your first time, tease the general environs a bit with your finger and be sure to give her clear physical cues that you're approaching and entering. If she's uncomfortable, then pull back. It's not worth jeopardizing a productive cunnilingus session over. 39. Pre-orgasm, part 3. As she teeters close to orgasm, take a moment to get into a cool, calm headspace. Don't get swept away by all the excitement. One of the main advantages of cunnilingus over intercourse is that you can remain level-headed and in control throughout the entire experience. The most common mistake men make is to meet passion with passion. Having come this far, do not let the cunnilingus session degenerate into random chaos in the penultimate moments. Cool, calm tongue strokes. Now is the ideal time to play it cool with your tongue, maybe even a little hard to get. The smaller and lighter your tongue strokes, the more you will prolong the heightened sensations just prior to orgasm and build sexual tension. If you're licking her with rhythmic vertical strokes, try skipping one. For example, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, skip 4, or 1, skip 2, skip 1, skip 2, skip. Or introduce a horizontal swipe amid a series of vertical strokes. Just as we began the cunnilingus session with some teasing, so too can we end it that way. Slow down. Let her orgasm come to you. Tease it out of her. Not only will this teasing help to trigger her orgasm, it will also sharpen the orgasmic contractions. Here are 3 creative techniques to calmly coax her orgasm. Jackson Pollock licks. A bit of lore about the painter Jackson Pollock. A journalist came to his studio one afternoon, surveyed the artist's work, and unimpressed by the abstract splotches, told him, "That's not art. Any monkey can do that." Pollock dipped his brush in a can of paint, gave it a deft flick of the wrist, and told the journalist to get the hell out. He pointed to the doorknob. On it, dead center, was a single dot of paint. Try licking her the way Pollock painted. Broad strokes with pinpoint targeted precision. Swooping, serpent-like. Start with the flat part of your tongue and end with the tip. Like Pollock, be sure you know what you're aiming for. Demonstrate the precision that underlies the passion. The lily pad. Imagine a frog on a lily pad. It sits silently and patiently, and then suddenly its tongue darts out to snag its prey. Make like a frog and catch the clitoral head with your tongue. In cunnilingus, less is definitely more, and this technique, with its pauses and sudden flashes of contact, bears that out. Finishing touches. Impressionist painter Georges Seurat pioneered the art of pointillism, rendering his subject out of thousands, if not millions, of tiny dots of color. Like Seurat, proudly surveying a barely dry landscape, apply a few considered finishing touches to your canvas. Using the tiniest tongue tip of a brush, liven up your subject with a burst of pointed color. Get ready. Here comes the first of a series of involuntary spasmodic contractions that signal she's reached orgasm and is about to release the tension that you both worked so hard to build. As Masters and Johnson noted of the pre-orgasm phase, or what they called the plateau phase, the female gathers psychological and physiological strength from the stockpile of mounting sexual tension until she can direct all her physical and mental forces towards a leap into the third or orgasmic phase of sexual tension expression. 40. A note for those stuck without an ending. Sometimes a woman is simply unable to reach orgasm via cunnilingus and will founder in the pre-orgasm phase unless there's a transition into genital intercourse. This may occur for a variety of reasons. She may be under the impression that intercourse is the proper or only way in which a woman should experience orgasm. She may be uncomfortable with the idea of coming in a man's mouth. Or perhaps she simply hasn't trained her body to experience an orgasm in this manner. As Natalie Angier wrote, the intimate connection between a woman's psychic humor and her clitoral power means that the clitoris must be wired up to the brain, the big brain, before it can sing. The brain must learn to ride its little rod the way it must learn to balance its body on a bicycle. And once learned, the skill will not be forgotten. Most women have wired themselves to orgasm consistently through masturbation and then subsequently settle for the inconsistency of genital intercourse. Since many men do not, as a rule, use their tongues to take a woman through the entire process of sexual response, many women are not wired to come as a result of cunnilingus. Fortunately, such modification is easily achieved. Reassure her, let her relax into the process. Let her know that you want her to come in this manner. Let her know how much you're enjoying it. Give her time to feel her way through the process. And don't fret if she doesn't come the first time. She'll get there as long as you're providing the stimulation she needs. But if she still insists on genital intercourse, make sure the transition to penetration is seamless. It's all too easy to lose the rhythm that's been established and squander all the sexual attention you've so carefully gathered. For more on this subject, wait a few moments until we come to chapter 43. 41. The female orgasm. Expanding your vocabulary. Let's polish up on our vocabulary and meanwhile learn a thing or two about the female orgasm. Word, Rabelaisian. Definition, like Rabelais or his writings, marked by exuberant imagination and caricature. Example, the walls trembled violently from the shouts of her orgasm, so much so that the man wondered if her ululations weren't more Rabelaisian than real. In 1994, Sherheit observed that more than half the women in her latest survey were faking orgasm, with only 42% getting there with a male partner. More recently, some studies have put the number of women who don't orgasm consistently as high as 58%. The best way to know if a woman's faking an orgasm is by knowing how to recognize the real thing. To an informed cunnilinguist, in tune with her process of sexual response, this is easier than you might suspect. As we discussed earlier, there are visible signs of arousal that become apparent throughout the process of sexual response, particularly during the pre-orgasm phase. These include an increase in the pace of her breathing, an increase in body temperature and heart rate, a high state of tension in her muscles, also known as hypertonicity, a tightening of the abdominal muscles, the throbbing of her PC muscles, and a general bearing down on the pelvic area. In addition to observing these visible signs of arousal during the pre-orgasm phase, you will principally recognize the female orgasm through the spasmodic, involuntary contractions of her genital area, also known as pelvic thrusting. As she releases sexual tension through orgasm, her vagina and uterus will contract, on average, 10 to 15 times, with each contraction lasting approximately 8/10 of a second. Her rectal sphincter contracts anywhere from 2 to 5 times as well. Based on these measurements, the average female orgasm lasts anywhere from 10 to 20 seconds. Attendant to these genital and rectal contractions is the tensing and releasing, in spasm, of many of the muscles throughout her body, including arms, leg, neck, and face. Even her toes will bend and arch forward. During orgasm, her breathing will speed up and her pulse will soar, anywhere from 110 to 180 beats per minute. In some cases, a woman may ejaculate a clear fluid. Tongue tip. If you're wondering if her orgasm was the real McCoy, look for the increased prominence of her nipples. It may appear that they are becoming more erect, but in actuality, the area of her areolas is subsiding to its normal state. Another sign of her orgasm is the rapid subsidence of her sex flush and the appearance of a filmy sheen of perspiration in its place. One way of thinking about the female orgasm is not as an action, but rather as a reaction, the involuntary release of all the sexual tension she built up through the process of arousal and the final surrender and letting go. It's important to remember that no two women are the same when it comes to their orgasms, and many sex therapists consider the individual experience so unique that it's sometimes referred to as orgasmic fingerprinting. That said, there are consistencies in the overall structure of an orgasm, with the average woman experiencing a sudden sense of stopping, followed immediately by intense, sharp contractions, which gradually slow and wane into a duller, more blunted, pelvic throbbing before subsiding. Back to the question of how to tell when she's faking it. Many women can duplicate the characteristics of orgasm, including the contractions of the PC muscles, although it's unlikely she could manufacture 8 to 10 of these contractions in less than 20 seconds, especially in combination with all the other visible characteristics. In fact, some sex therapists will recommend to women who have trouble experiencing orgasm that they do just that, fake their way through one in order to stimulate and trick the body into experiencing the real thing. But in truth, most women know that they needn't bother portraying a convincing facsimile of the real thing when they can simply offer up an ersatz performance of those characteristics that are most likely to fool and please men. In short, lots of sound and fury, which in the end is nothing more than smoke and mirrors. This is a broad generalization, but it's the screamers and the thrashers who are very often the fakers. An orgasm doesn't come out of nowhere. It's the final exclamation point on a sentence that you've been writing all along. If the final flourish feels unearned, then it likely is. Word, coadjutor. Definition, a helper, assistant. Example, as a loyal and diligent coadjutor in the satisfaction of his mistress, he knew exactly what to do as her body began to spasm and shudder with pleasure. When a woman enters the period of orgasmic contractions, stay absolutely focused on what you're doing. Maintain your position. Provide a steady point of resistance. Feel the contractions of her orgasm, the thrusting of her pelvis. Like a shock absorber, take her movements into your body and then channel them back into her in the form of pleasurable vibrations. Contain the energy. Smother it. Let it out slowly. Don't let the orgasm explode out of her in one quick, furious blast. Tease it out slowly in long, fluid pulses. Stay calm and cool. Now's not the moment to get caught up in the hullabaloo and lose your discipline. Soon enough, it will be your turn. Make sure you finish what you've started. It's all too easy to confuse the moments just prior to her orgasm with the orgasm itself. The female orgasm is preceded by small, growing waves of pleasure that ebb and build, and these waves may have the appearance of an orgasm. She's in the process of coming without having actually peaked yet. Her pelvic area is throbbing, but she hasn't yet gone into the involuntary state of spasmodic release. When the actual orgasm happens, it will break the rhythm that precedes it. There's a brief violence to the moment, a spasm, a shudder, like that first jolt when the wheels of a landing plane touch the runway. The actual orgasm may only last 10 to 20 seconds at its peak, but the entire process, replete with spine-tingling ebbs and flows, may easily last several minutes. Word, appoggiatura. Meaning, an embellishment. A musical note performed before an essential part of a melody and normally taking half or less than half its time value. Example, when a woman climaxes as a result of oral stimulation, one can deftly apply small, yet highly effective appoggiaturas that enhance and punctuate the larger experience. If and when a woman climaxes during genital intercourse, you may feel the contractions of her orgasm pulse against your penis, but there's little you can do to stimulate or enhance those pleasurable waves beyond maintaining persistent contact with her clitoris. However, during cunnilingus, you have the added benefit of being able to use your tongue to spike the process. Once she's entered the period of orgasmic contractions, about 10 to 20 seconds in duration, apply light, playful tongue jabs against the clitoral head. Swipe the head with short vertical strokes, mixed in with some diagonal swipes. As always, do this calmly, coolly, and gently. These appoggiaturas should be light tongue tickles that go against the grain of her orgasm. Think of them as tiny bumps in the road. They won't slow her down, but she'll definitely feel them. Take your time. You needn't apply more than 4 to 6 swipes in total. Each one will add spark and counterpoint to the process, power spikes that continue to push the envelope of pleasure until all the sexual tension has been completely exhausted and drained from her body. In short, use your tongue to tease out every last bit of pleasure. Word, anfractuous. Meaning, full of twists and turns. Example, so infractuous was the process of arousing her, so dizzying and roundabout his journey, that even after the last of her fitful contractions subsided, he still wasn't sure she was fully sated. You'll know her climax has concluded when her body relaxes, her breathing slows, and the contractions, like an echo, have faded into the distance. It will seem as though she's melted blissfully right before your eyes. Her genitals, particularly the clitoral head, will be so sensitive from the experience that she'll recoil at their slightest touch. Stimulate her until she reaches the point where she can no longer bear the touch of your tongue. She may signal this moment by placing a hand on your head or gently pushing you away. Take the cue and lift your head. It's a job well done, but by no means over. 42. More play. She comes again, and again. Says Harold Pinter, it's pure instinct. The curtain comes down when the rhythm seems right, when the action calls for a finish. Great is the art of the beginning, but greater is the art of the ending, says Thomas Fuller. You'll find that one of the great joys of adopting the philosophy of she comes first is not only that she experiences orgasm consistently during sexual activity, but also, when you postpone your orgasm until after hers, that door is now open for her to experience many, many more. In fact, it's far easier for a woman to experience her second orgasm, as her genitals are still engorged with blood and her body is still awash with the potent chemicals of sex. As Natalie Angier has written of the female orgasm, it may take many minutes to reach the first summit, but once there, the lusty mountaineer finds wings awaiting her. She does not need to scramble back to the ground before scaling the next peak, but can glide like a raptor on currents of joy. Easier said than done. As far as the average guy is concerned, if stimulating a single female orgasm is already something of a mystery, the whole idea of multiple orgasms is like the riddle of the Sphinx. More often than not, men tend to think that a woman's potential to experience multiple orgasms has something to do with a special capacity or unique ability within her, and little or nothing to do with him. Either she can or she can't. While the truth is that most women can experience multiple orgasms, as a rule, not an exception, and it has everything to do with you. But rest assured, if you can get her to her first orgasm, you should have very little trouble getting her to her second. More women don't experience their second or third orgasm with men for the same reason that many don't experience their first. They're not receiving appropriate clitoral stimulation, and male gratification is not being postponed. But just because she's not having multiple orgasms with you doesn't mean she's not having them at all. Most women are able to achieve multiple orgasms with ease during masturbation. In fact, Masters and Johnson found that some women were able to reach 50 consecutive orgasms with a vibrator. It's not that women are doing anything special in order to achieve multiple orgasms when masturbating. They're simply providing themselves with the focused clitoral stimulation they require. The innate biological capacity to achieve multiple orgasms has much to do with how women, subsequent to orgasm, experience the resolution period and return to the pre-aroused state. Men lose their erections quickly and go into what's called a refractory period, an interval of time that needs to pass before he can get an erection again. But a woman's genitals take far longer to return to their normal state, at least 5 to 10 minutes. Additionally, the clitoris does not contain a venous plexus, the mechanism in the penis for retaining blood and sustaining an erection, a critical element in the explosive male orgasm and the process of insemination. If you want to lead a woman to her second orgasm and beyond, first return to the activities of foreplay, kissing, embracing, and soft touching. Keep her warm, keep her aroused, but take some time before returning to more intense genital stimulation. Remember, unlike other parts of her body, the clitoris, particularly the head, is extremely sensitive after orgasm. Give yourself some time to cool down as well, and recover from the excitement of what has just passed. Once you're both ready for genital stimulation, you can do so with your hands, tongue, or even your penis. That's right, there's a time and place for everything, and the time for intercourse is after she's experienced her first orgasm. Not simply because she's been satisfied once, but because in this warmer state of arousal, she's much more likely to experience a second one. 43. Seamless transitions. Before transitioning to genital penetration, use cunnilingus as a way of bringing her as near as possible to the point of orgasmic inevitability. Woman on top. Once she's there, try the female superior position, or woman on top. This is an ideal position for her to position her clitoris against your pubic bone at the base of your penis and achieve the ideal amount of pressure. Stimulate her clitoral cluster against your penis. Control rhythm and pace. Modulate the experience of orgasm. According to Masters and Johnson, clitoral response may develop more rapidly and with greater intensity in the female superior coition than in any other female coital positions. Additionally, when she's on top, you're doing less thrusting and are therefore more likely to be able to control the timing of your own orgasm. The coital alignment technique, also known as CAT. This is a sexual position designed to greatly improve a woman's chance of orgasm through genital penetration and function as an enhancement to the standard missionary position, man on top. During CAT, the man penetrates from a higher angle than usual, placing pressure on the woman's clitoris with the base of his penis and pubic bone. When you are performing CAT, the main thing to keep in mind is maintaining contact with the clitoris. The overall movement is much less a thrusting than a synchronized rocking back and forth with the focus on the clitoris and the base of the penis. 44. Achieving simultaneity. Perhaps you've made the decision to pursue a simultaneous orgasm. If you need to build up momentum during her orgasmic peak in order to achieve your own, do so through a rocking motion that keeps the base of your penis and pubic bone aligned with her clitoris. Don't feel pressure to be overly inventive. The ability to achieve simultaneity often comes from the intuitive sense of knowing and understanding